is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The report from mid-November from the Black Sea Basin. Black Sea grain export deal extended, but Russia wants more on fertilizer exports. Reuters reporting a deal aimed at easing global food shortages by helping Ukraine export its agricultural products from Black Sea ports was extended for 4 months, though Russia said its own demands were yet to be fully addressed. To interpret these strange proceedings, I welcome Ekaterina Zolotova of Geopolitical Futures. She's in Moscow. Geopolitical Futures is a subscription site I recommend highly to understand Ukraine conflict, Black Sea Basin future, and food security around the world. Ekaterina, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. The Black Sea Grain Corridor continues in a conversation that was resolved by the presidents of Ukraine and Turkey, not Russia. You mentioned Ukraine and Turkey, but why? Why did Russia not object, although it said its demands were not addressed? First, we have to establish, where is Russia in the order of battle for wheat exporters? Where is it now, and what does it mean for Russia's future? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and it's great to be here and discuss this question. It's really, really interesting because it's almost like 10 days after the grain deal, I mean, the second grain deal, and Russia still didn't say anything about its participation. But anyhow, Russia still continued to observe this agreement, and it's very, very, very close to this. So first, let's discuss the Russian position in the wheat market. The wheat is very important for Russia, and it's not only for internal use. It's a very important geopolitical tool. Some years ago, Russia was considering to increase the production of wheat and then to supply it to the other countries, for example, the Middle East. There was a project in the mind of Russia to create some hub in Saudi Arabia or the Emirates, and this hub will contain a lot of wheat, and then all of this grain and wheat will go to other countries, to Africa and to other Middle East countries. This will increase not only the Russian export, but this could increase also the Russian positions on the market and in geopolitical sphere as well. So it was really important. And during the last years, Russia was trying to increase the production of wheat. It was really successful. And to this moment, Russia has got the record amount of harvest, especially grains and the wheat as well. So for this moment, Russia is one of the major exporter of these goods. Russia is one of the main producer of these goods, and it really plays really important role in the wheat and grain market.
Yes,
which is
number
one,
number one, Ekaterina. And you tell me that wasn't true a few years ago, but Russia is now number one. And so it has a lot to sell and a lot of people need it, especially because you note in your report that there have been poor harvests in regions that need food because of drought or energy or fertilizers, part of the story as well. But Russia needs to export. You report that it's a third of the revenues from food exports, so the budget will continue upon this. Also, is this an unusual harvest year for Russian farmers? Have they seen this scale before?
I would say that during the last decade and the last years, no. This is the new record, and it's really impressive one. From one point, it's really great. It's what Russia wanted to achieve and to be number one and continue to be the leader. But from the second, but from another point of view, it's it could be a problem for Russian market. The wheat, well, Russia covers its needs for the wheat in its internal economy. And there is a lot of surplus of grains that Russia has to export. Let's imagine the situation that Russia can't export for some reasons. And these reasons right now are very clear. It could be sanctions, logistical problems, and so on. If Russia can't export this wheat, it means that the prices in the internal market can decline. And the producers of wheat and the grains, they will be in a really difficult problem because right now they need to find some money for the next campaign, sowing campaign. And if they are not going to get any money right now, the next year will be kind of problematic for them. So it is important for Russia to not only to produce the wheat, but also to continue to export. And in current conditions, when Russia is under the sanctions and with all of this grain deal and limited infrastructure and limited logistics, this become a really huge problem.
Right.
Plus, there are some problems in Central Asia as well.
I see what the problem is. Your cup runneth over and over and over. You've got too much wheat. You've got too much grain. You must move it. I follow your reporting. The country's wheat harvest reached 105 million tons 2022, and last year it was about 78 million tons. They're expecting a total grain harvest of more than 150 million tons. That's all combined today, and the silos must be full. And you have limitations. There's the war. And then their shipping costs, are they prohibitive, the shipping costs?
There is still a possibility to ship, but the problem is not only the costs. The problem is that there could be not enough ships and not enough infrastructure. There is a problem with the costs in Central Asia, as I mentioned, because of the different exchange rate, because of the different connection of the exchange rate to different currencies. The tariffs in Central Asia become so high that it's almost it's not effective for the producers, I mean Russian producers, to sell the wheat to Central Asia. For example, the transportation in Russia, it's three times less than transportation to Central Asia. So this is why the countries that usually receive a lot of Russian grains and a lot of Russian wheat, such as Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and other Central Asian countries, and by the way, China too, they are facing right now problems. Simply, Russian exporters are not eager to sell the wheat with such high costs. The government is trying to fix this problem, and last week we saw the dialogue between Russia and Kazakhstan about the tariffs. But still, there is no certain answer about this.
I see. So now we have to speculate about why Russia did not object or has not objected to an extension of the grain deal. Because, Ekaterina, I remind myself that early on in the war, food was seen as a weapon that Russia was going to wield. Remember those days when Russia was preventing the outshipping of Ukrainian wheat and Odessa was under siege and there were mines in the water? Now we've moved to a different problem entirely. How does Russia move out its wheat or grains entirely, and what is to be done? First of all, the Kremlin understands that the food is useful, but it wants something for it. What is it negotiating for? What are the Kremlin's wish lists for exporting grain?
Well, first of all, Russia wants to keep the access to the Black Sea, for sure, because this is one of the major routes, and Russia still wants to deliver wheat to Egypt, one of its major buyers, Turkey, and many others. So, first of all, it would be really nice for Russia to continue this grain deal. But, of course, it sees some conditions, and it still has some time to use this moment and maybe negotiate some positions. Russia understands, first of all, that in some months there could be some problems in this market. First of all, the major buyers like Egypt, for example, Pakistan, and many others, they start to have some financial problems. So it is a question if they are going to buy as much amount of wheat as they are doing right now. The other buyers in the Middle East are making stocks right now because they were really afraid of this grain deal, if it's going to be postponed or whatever. So Russia is not expecting very huge demand after this. Plus, we don't need to forget that the war is still happening in Ukrainian territory, and it's not sure what's going to be the campaign in the future. So Russia understands that it will be the moment when there will be the Russian wheat, and there will be demand for Russian wheat in some months, of course, because, for example, Ukraine will not be able to support the market as well. And there will be some other countries that will wait for their Russian wheat and so on. So Russia is trying to use this moment, and it's trying to get some concessions from the European Union, from Turkey, and from the West. One of these, it's fertilizers, and there is one pipeline. I think that we once discussed this pipeline.
Yes, a very important pipeline, the ammonia pipeline, that the whole world depends on Russian fertilizer.
Yes, and this pipeline, it's very important because it is passing the ammonia from Russia through the territory of Ukraine to the European Union, and then it could be used in different factories. The second thing that Russia would like to get, it's some concessions in banking sphere. For example, there is a bank which is called Rossельхозбанк, and it is dealing with operations with grains and agricultural products. And it is under the sanctions because it is governmental one. It is out from SWIFT system. I saw yesterday an article that Russia is trying to push this problem and is negotiating the status of this bank, governmental bank, in the SWIFT. So there is a big possibility that Russia will get some of this. And finally, it's not only, let's return to fertilizers. So we've discussed the pipeline, and there is one more. It's again Africa, and Russia was criticizing the grain deal because the ships didn't go to Africa and didn't bring fertilizers, and fertilizers were the part of this grain deal. And Russia also got some concessions. For example, President France Macron announced that some ships are going actually to Africa, and some countries are going to receive Russian fertilizers. It's an important step in geopolitical plans for Russia.
The detail that is fresh to me is that Russia's state-owned bank, Rossельхозбанк, is the Rossельхозбанк is under sanctions by the U.S., by the EU. Are those to be lifted? Because the ag bank is necessary to keep the grain and fertilizer flowing.
Yeah, it's discussing right now, and I think that it's very possible that there will be some concessions on this. And this is a good example how Russia can deal with the sanctions and what Russia is doing.
And also, President Zelensky, about the ammonia pipeline, this is the Togliatti-Odessa ammonia pipeline. You report that President Zelensky regrets this and opposes? Is that he's opposing the pipeline? Has that changed?
Well, in fact, it didn't change. The pipeline was working before the operation, and when the operation starts, exactly on 24th of February, Russia has stopped all the supplies of ammonia through this pipeline. And for this moment, of course, the Ukrainian president doesn't want to revive this, simply because it will create the trade between Russia and the European Union. Russia will be able to get access to money, to trade, and to receive more money to the budget. So this is the same old story. So for this moment, Zelensky is against of this pipeline. But the winter is coming. The Russian continued its military operation, and we see that the electricity in some cities of Ukraine has been damaged because of the Russian missile attacks. And maybe this is going to be one of the negotiation points between Turkey and Ukraine. I'm not adding Russia here because we're still speaking about grain deal, but I expect that this is something that could be done.
Ekaterina Zolotova for Geopolitical Futures. She's in Moscow, commenting on the grain deal and the ammonia deal. However, this is all about money and satisfying the farmers and the abundance of grain that Russia has to sell. When we come back, What else does Russia gain from its patience? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.